So I'm turning tonight to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, and I begin with verse 23. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, sorry, I begin from 21. My emphasis will be on 23, but Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. From that time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offence unto me, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. My friends, in a single study, just last week we finished our studies in 1 Peter, so this is a single study, and it's about offences. Offences, and every Christian must know this because the Lord Jesus Christ speaks very strongly about offences. By offences, we mean things that may hinder others from either obeying the Lord or coming to Him or serving Him as He ought. And I will turn to a few texts very soon where you see that the Lord strongly warns against offences. But in the Bible, in the New Testament, offences are spoken of in various ways. So there are each one of them and how we respond unto them. There are offences that will be thrown in our way, which we should be careful we do not yield to it. There are offences we should be careful we don't cause others. There are offences sometimes that we should handle differently. What is so beautiful in Scripture is that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself faced all of them. So we have this example how He responded to them. So what we'll be doing is to survey through Scripture and see these various forms of offences and how the Lord responded to them, so that we respond to them too. And again, you begin to see the value of this concern when we read something that the Lord said in Matthew 18. So offences are hindering others, bringing others to somehow have a difficulty in knowing the Lord or coming to Him, serving Him, obeying Him, things like this. The Bible says they are very, very sensitive things before the Lord. And in a church, we need to know these things because, once again, because the Bible strongly warns against our offences and the causes of them. So we must learn them and know how we respond to them. So it's a very important thing for us. And so, friends, and sometimes, if we don't understand the nature of offences in the New Testament, some people can even subtly, in a clever way, get us to disobey the Lord, and we would think we're actually honouring the Lord. I remember a few years ago, I was in contact with one pastor, and because it had come to our notice that something that was something he had spoken about or described was actually not true. And so, because it was a very important matter, I decided, for example, to call that pastor to draw his attention to it. Oh, sir, I think that this thing isn't true. Unfortunately, the pastor didn't like it. He became almost angry, if not actually angry. Now, the point was that, so I tried to call another pastor to tell that pastor and say that, sir, you know, this kind of thing is here, and we know that it is not correct. And I told the pastor that will he be able to look at this, correct it, or whatever, and he got angry. And to my surprise, the second pastor was telling me, oh, okay, well then, if he doesn't want to listen to it, then you push it aside. Well, in the name of wanting to, as often said, promote peace, things like this. But my dear friend, you will realize that in the Bible, there are some offenses, there are some things that if people, it doesn't matter how people take offense, we don't stop doing them. And so that's one of the major things I want us to see in the Bible. It doesn't matter what people do or react about that, we don't stop doing them. And sometimes the trick that is played on us is that, forgive me for this, or sometimes some young Christian that somebody says, oh, well, if you do this kind of thing, then I'm not even coming to your church, or something like that. And so you want to try please a person, and then therefore weaken your ground and things like this. Should we? Well, friends, so that's the purpose. And I'm sure when you go to Matthew 18 and we read a few more verses, you see how important the Bible speaks about offenses. We need to know them, my dear friends. Otherwise, we would very seriously sin against the Lord. So, we begin here, and the Lord Jesus Christ is an example. So, Matthew 16, and verse 23, 22-23, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord. They shall not be unto thee." But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." And so this is a kind of an offense that this Lord Jesus Christ faced from his own disciple, a reliable disciple, Peter. And the Lord Jesus Christ told him to get behind him. He actually rebuked Peter for wanting to stop the Lord from getting ready to go to the cross of Calvary. And so the Lord Jesus Christ rebuked Peter. So this is a kind of an offense that if it is thrown at us, we said it is an offense that would want to stop us from doing the will of the Lord. I'll give another example very soon. It is an offense that would stop me from doing the will of the Lord. To such an offense, we pray for grace from the Lord to firmly ignore it. Firmly say no to that. In fact, we must be so firm as our Lord so that the attempt to stop us from honoring the Lord has no place at all in our lives or in our hearts. And so the Lord Jesus Christ shows this. So this is a case where he tells Peter to get behind him. He calls Peter Satan. I'm sure you know he doesn't mean that Satan has come to possess Peter or anything like that. But at this point, the Lord himself explains, at this time, Peter, you are not doing the will of God. You are not interested in the will of God. You have yielded to flesh. And so in that sense, Satan has had a measure of mastery over you. And so this is an offense that is thrown at the Lord because the Lord Jesus Christ had announced that he was going to Jerusalem in order to suffer for the Lord, and the Lord Jesus Christ wanted to obey that, announcing that to the disciples, and Peter didn't like it, as he doesn't want the Lord to do that. So it will be offenses like this. And sometimes it may come from close quarters, people very close to us. And we should be so alert, because we are supposed to obey the Lord far more than anyone else in this world. He must have the preeminence in all things. So we want to obey the Lord in that. Now let me bring you to another one that's similar to that. So I'll be just drawing these from Scripture. So I go to Gospel of Matthew chapter 15. Gospel of Matthew chapter 15. And I'm reading from verses Matthew 15. Yes. And then we read verses 12 to 14. This is it. Then came his disciples, now the Lord Jesus Christ had taught from verse 1, I will mention that briefly to you. Then came his disciples and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard the saying?" But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted out." And look at verse 14, "Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." You see the point there? This is a case, again, where the first one was an offense thrown at the Lord. So Peter wanted to hinder the Lord from obeying his father, going to the cross of Calvary. The second one, it is suggested that the Lord had offended others. You see. Now, the reason why we put the two together is in both cases, the Lord's answer is, don't worry, ignore it. So here, the Lord Jesus Christ talks about the Pharisees' hypocrisy from verses 1 to 9, and he spoke very strongly. He told them that their worship was only a format. They maintained the form, but have lost the aspect of real obedience to the Lord. And so after the Lord had spoken and was alone, his disciples came to him and said, Lord, do you realize that what you taught offended the Pharisees? And then the Lord Jesus Christ told them, as we read. So that's what they said in verse 12. You see there? Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended? After they heard the saying, so they didn't like it, they were offended. And the Lord's answer is thus. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. So every seed that is not the work of God will perish. If it is not the work of God in hearts, in whatever we do, it shall not survive. And then the Lord said, let them alone. Leave them to themselves. Because they are blind guides. And so, yeah, and let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. So, do not listen to them. Don't be worried about them, even though they say they are offended at something. And remember, the Lord Jesus Christ did a similar one in John chapter 6. For instance, so this is very helpful for us to learn. John chapter 6. And verse 61, we have people offended again, and we see the Lord's response. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? So the Lord recognizes that, but what did he say? Did he do anything to take that away? No. He said, what an eighth. Ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before. It is the Spirit that giveth, that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. He was trying to explain, enlarge on that, but he will not remove the supposed offense. The offense was that the Lord Jesus Christ has said he must eat his body and drink his blood. And the Lord didn't remove that. So, the offense we ignore are offenses that are merely declaration of God's truth. If we have taught God's truth, if we have shown God's way, if we have shown God's mind, and people take offense at that, well, we only commit them to the Lord. We don't let that influence us to begin to back down and then begin to perhaps change our message or anything like that. And so that's the principle. So we are careful of offenses people would throw at us so that we are not encouraged or allowed to be obedient to the Lord. We are careful in our own case. And then we may come off as having offended others from not either listening or following the Lord or things like this. Now, in such cases, if it is God's truth we have declared, we only leave them to the Lord. And you have Apostle Paul say the same thing. My dear friends, come with me to Galatians chapter 5. And you see that this really runs through scripture, Galatians chapter 5. So, if it is God's truth that is being taught, we ignore the offenses that people may have. Now verse 11. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. You see what the apostle is saying? He's saying this. I am being persecuted because I'm preaching the cross. Preaching the cross means that you insist upon that the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary alone is that which a sinner rests his hopes upon. If you insist upon that people must abandon all trust in themselves, all self-admiration if they will be saved.
We give no room at all to people who want to really applaud themselves and feel themselves wonderful. We tell them, well, you are in danger of really perishing because your hopes in the Lord Jesus Christ will be shallow, will be a sham. And so we point them to the fact that Christ and what He did on Calvary alone is what a sinner rests his hopes upon. And that trust in the cross of Christ and what He did for sinners brings us to be so willing to so obey Him and be willing to suffer anything for His sake. And so you see, so as we teach these things, Apostle Paul's teaching these things, and he's persecuted. And his point is this. Now, if this were not my preaching, and I was preaching circumcision, preaching Judaism's form and the outward practices, no one would trouble me. No one would be angry with me. Look at all my enemies. These are Jews, and they're against me. They're opposed to me because I am running down circumcision. I'm saying circumcision benefits no one. If he doesn't really come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's in Romans chapter 2:2. If somebody is circumcised but will not come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's useless. The Gentile who comes to trust in Christ is far better than him. And so, the apostle is saying, it's because I'm preaching this kind of thing. That is why I'm being persecuted. That's why I'm in trouble everywhere. And so his point was that I am suffering because I am preaching the cross of Christ. If you want to remove the offense of the cross, then nobody will persecute you. What's the point then? That if we should suffer because we want to still preach the truth of Christ and His cross, what He requires of those who come to believe, what He requires of needy sinners to rest all their hopes entirely upon Him and really discount all other way, any other way. People would want to make it a hope of salvation and people are offended at that. We don't go around trying to really pour cold water on that and try to please them. No, we let the offense stand. We leave the offense to stand because that's the truth of God. And so, if truth offends people, we do not try to water it down. We do not. Because truth is not ours. It is given to us to teach it and to proclaim it. It is handed down to us. And we want to hand it down to the generations coming also, so that we do not we do nothing to try to let people perhaps feel happier with us or anything like that. No, we don't do that. And so that's the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ and of the Apostle Paul also. And then there's another thing here which I want us to read a little. A number of verses here. So please, I go to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13. I'm sorry to be moving back and forth a little, but there's Gospel of Matthew chapter 13. And there's 21. I'm sure you know this is the parable of the sower. And then the Lord said this. Oh, let me start from verse 20 to make it a bit clearer. But he that received the seed into the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and anon, or quickly, but with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while. But when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Now, the Lord is using the picture of those who sometimes hear the gospel, not the picture, but the reality of those who sometimes hear the gospel, but eventually never come to real faith. He's using the situation of such persons to teach us about the danger of offenses if they are not properly handled. So, if somebody hears the gospel and he understands the call to repentance, he understands the invitation to trust in Christ alone, but he begins to do a calculation.
He calculates and sees the world. If I listen to the Lord, if I yield my heart wholly to Him, then I'm going to lose that. And I'm going to suffer that. And I'm going to have to do away with that. And so, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to perhaps merely go to church and be involved in various kind of things, but still give my heart to these things. Well, the Bible warns, the danger is that I will never really come to know the Lord. Because then the word will not take its root as it should in my heart. There will be still the hardness of heart there. I will not know the blessing of the Lord in my heart through the word. And therefore I cannot taste genuine conversion. So you see, it warns us that people can be offended because of what they want. They may suffer. Because of what may come upon them, they may be offended. In other words, they may be put off from desiring to come to the Lord. Now, exactly this is what a Christian must never do. You see the point. There may be persons who want to come to the Lord, who because of some thing they may suffer, or may be done to them, therefore turn away from the Lord. They will not want to come sincerely to the Lord. And that's the picture here. So they are not really born again. They are really not converted, because they fear of what they will lose. Now, when you become a genuine child of God, it's the opposite. You come, you do yourself to the Lord, willing to suffer anything, bear anything, endure anything, as long as it is because this is the will of the Lord. As long as it is because you are doing the will of the Lord. Or sometimes it is said, you are in the way of duty, you should be willing to bear that. Dear friends, so I repeat myself, the point is this: we should not be put off obeying the Lord merely because somebody will be offended. That will not be correct, because it is the Lord that must be honored first. It is the Lord that must be glorified first, and He must have the first place. Okay, dear friends, now, I've tried to stress this, but I'm shifting gear now, because the Bible speaks of another aspect of offense which we should not cause. So, I've spoken about that offense that we may cause people, and we should not worry about. If we are in the way of duty, if we are in a way of obedience to the Lord, if we are working as Christians, and somebody is offended at that, we do not do anything to try to make it more acceptable. We don't have the liberty to do that. We only do the will of our Father, and we leave the rest to Him. Please, I hope that part is very clear. I leave from this text. Now, as I said, I'm shifting gear now to the kind of offenses that we should be very sensitive at. Now, it is this kind of offenses that the Lord Jesus Christ solemnly warned about. So I'm starting with the warning of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then go to His own example, and then that of the Apostle Paul. And so that will be the other part. And I hope we begin to close. Dear friends, I'm anxious that you appreciate it. When we go to the warning of our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 18, I hope we will see why it is important to understand how offenses work in the Bible. So I go there now, my dear friends, to our Gospel of Matthew chapter 18. Gospel of Matthew chapter 18. And these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. From verse 6. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hung about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. And look at these solemn words. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. You see how strongly the Lord speaks about offenses? So, if you know the text, at least the one that we've read already,
the question that will naturally rise in your head is, so why is it that Apostle Paul didn't care about offenses in Galatians 5, and the Lord Jesus Christ didn't care about offenses in chapter 15, and yet here he tells us that we should be careful? So what kind of offenses does he have in mind? So you see, it becomes clear that the offenses the Bible talk about are not the same. So there's one kind of offense that the Bible says, be careful you don't fall into that, because it is that which will stop you from obeying the Lord. Either that you yourself obey the Lord, or you are in the way of duty, you are in the way of obeying the Lord, and somebody takes offense. Or you are teaching truth, you are trying to live out truth, and somebody takes offense. These ones, we leave the person to the Lord. It's not our business, we let them alone. Why? Because we want to honor God first. But it's a kind of offense that the Lord Jesus Christ said, be careful. In fact, you should go to the greatest length to avoid that. Because if you don't, we will suffer for that in the day of judgment. If somebody calls himself a child of God and is so insensitive to offenses to other persons, that would be a big question. That Apostle Paul will say that too, and I'll come to that. That would be a big question. If I'm indifferent, well, I speak what I want, I do what I want, I behave as I do. And these days, people are even, for example, dressing as they want, and they don't care whether they cause offense or not. Well, of course, sometimes nobody has alerted them. There's something somebody alerted them. They will try and understand because they fear the Lord already. Somebody has alerted them. They are good people like that. But other times, people are simply recalcitrant. It doesn't matter what you tell them. They want to do it still. And so now, the Bible says it's very dangerous. If I, by my careless behavior, put a hindrance in the way of somebody, so that person stumbles in the way of obedience, God watches me. The Lord Jesus Christ saying, woe unto the world. Offenses will by all means come, but woe to that person through whom it comes. If I become the means consciously, in spite of warning, in spite of being alerted, becoming different to the fact that I may cause offense to others, then I should fear, because I'll be answerable to God one day. And so the natural question, what kind of offenses does the Lord have in mind here? What kind of offense? Please, have you seen the two big difference? There's one that we ignore it. Even if somebody's offended, we say, well, I leave him to the Lord. I must still go on doing it. And that's the one that the Lord is warning and say, be careful. If somebody is offended, woe unto you. And so what are the two different offense? So look at the first one. Now, the second one for which the Lord gave this warning, we have an example of his own case in chapter 17. So please come to chapter 17, and you have the Lord's own example. Matthew chapter 17, verse 24. and when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, doth not your master pay tribute? He said, yes. And when he was coming to the house, Jesus prevented that he went ahead of Peter, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter saith unto him, of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, then are the children free. Now watch verse 27. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, and cast an hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money, that take and give unto them for me and thee. What is happening? The Lord Jesus Christ is that child who must not pay tribute. He's a child of God. The temple is him, is himself. He doesn't have to pay tribute. So this question to Peter is, who is it that they should get tribute from him? Peter says, well, it's the strangers, not those who are children. Then the Lord Jesus Christ, then, you know, as children we are free, isn't it? And yet, in order not to offend them, give it to them. Bear that in mind. And we go into another text of scripture. Come with me, dear friends. These things become very much clear as we read Romans chapter 14. The Apostle Paul
speaks about this so very strongly. Romans chapter 14, verses 20 to 21. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. So Apostle is saying, now, dear brethren, you have liberty. You can enjoy whatever meat you want. But you cannot be careless. If by eating any meat at all, any food at all, you know that somebody is offended by that, and you become insensitive of that, well, of course you're not behaving properly. You have your liberty, you could enjoy that, but you cannot shut your eyes to the other person who may be offended. It is your taste, you like it, you are interested in that. You cannot merely go ahead of that merely because you are interested. But be careful and say, would I be offend people in this? Now, the Apostle Paul says, these are matters that do not draw us near to God or away from God. In biblical discussions, we call them matters of indifference. They are matters that if a person did it, he's not wrong. If he didn't do it, he's not offending God. Now, the point is, do not insist on your taste of that when that would offend a brother. Be willing to let go what your taste may be. Because it's a matter that if you stop doing it, nobody's offended. God is not displeased. And if you did it, God is not particularly pleased. So be willing to let that go. The Apostle Paul expresses it again here. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 18. He runs on the same lines once again. First Corinthians chapter 8. Wherefore, it goes all the way, my dear friends, if I can start from 12. But when ye sin so against the brethren, and it's up, can I go up a bit? I'm sorry, I wish I could read on that, but let me. Verse 9. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee which has knowledge sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? But when ye sin against the brethren, and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. What's the point? The point is this. The Christian, when it comes to these matters of indifference, matters which are purely your taste, your likes, be sensitive to others that you do not make others offend, or you do not make others hindered in any way. Be sensitive to others, in other words. Apostle Paul speaks again in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And so now he broadens it. He started with food and drink, and then he broadens it. Do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jew, nor to the Gentile, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, nor seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. This is a classic situation of when people, if you do not know scripture, you can actually pull those and pull Galatians 1:10 and say, look at the Bible contradicting itself. I remember there was this preacher in a Muslim country, a Muslim country that has a measure of liberty. So this preacher was there preaching, and a lady came up. She was actually standing in the crowd, and she came up and said that, well, there are contradictions in your Bible. And she picked out the Bible and read two places in John's Gospel and said, look at it, the Bible's contradicting itself, can't you see? And the man said that, well, be patient. Well, the lady won't be patient, and I said, no, I'm not going to let you deceive people that are here. My dear friend, God in His wisdom has written His Bible in such a way that we have to, as the thing says, that sometimes you have to knock hard before the sense comes. If I'm a lazy reader, you will stumble so much. If I'm a casual reader, how often you will miss the gem of truth. We are called to carefully read. Apostle Paul says that, I please all men. Galatians 1:10, he says that, if I please men, I'm not a disciple of Christ. Contradiction? No. It's like an offense you're talking about. If it is the will of the Lord, if it doesn't sound about the will of the Lord, I don't listen to any man. If it is God's revealed will, I don't listen to any man. If it's a matter of my personal taste, I give room to others. If it's a matter of my personal preference, I don't insist upon that. That would make me unchristian. That would make me even inhuman and harsh and unkind. And that's the Christian principle. If it's my own taste, if it's my own way of doing things, in my own life, you don't insist upon that. In the community of the Lord's people, otherwise, there cannot be genuine fellowship. There cannot be genuine bonding. There will only be people who want to dominate and really drive people by their personality. And that will be a great sin. Because the Bible tells us we should never be a slave to any man. Every person must feel his conscience a slave to God only. You remember 1 Corinthians 7:23, you've been bought at a price, be not a servant of man. Nobody should dictate what we should do merely by his tastes. If I like it that way. You know, these days even pastors are the most guilty. This is the biggest danger with charismatic churches. The very moment you close the Bible, and it's a matter of what you want to say, what you want done, you no longer run in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are running your own personal enterprise. And the Lord will not be there. His church must be run by His will alone. And Christians are given this clear wisdom that never my preference, if I can enjoy it in a way that does not offend anyone, fine. If I can enjoy it and others around me are okay with that, fine. But I dare not impose it. I dare not insist upon that. Dear brethren, those of us who are young, if you take up this principle to even help your marriages, and a married person here, you insist on those things that are only scriptural. If it's your personal taste, be willing to give in. Be willing to say, okay. It's like our brother and working together. If it is a matter of, I always use this illustration because we sometimes take our children to Sunday school park and back in Kitkosa. It's a long time we did it here. We wish we could do that. Supposing we are going to take the children to park, and then we have to decide. We have our two sisters who are in charge. We want to decide: do we go with our jollof rice or fried rice? Should this become a debate? I mean, of course, I hope it doesn't happen, but when we are careless, that even can generate debate. Well, no, jollof rice. No, plain rice. And all this kind of, it would take a few minutes. Things like this. The Christian attitude should be this. Well, if all of them will provide the children good food, any of them can go. Any of them can go. It is so harsh, so unchristian, says the apostle. In fact, he says, that's sin. To insist on your personal taste. Not because Bible teaches it, not because Bible instructs it, but merely because that's the way you like it. That's the way you want the thing to be done. Oh, we wouldn't fit into society. And we can never be genuine friends. Our friends will be those persons, we dominate them and drive them as if they are no human beings. And that is never Christian. Christians are those that so value people around us, genuinely respecting them, genuinely valuing their interests too, and their tastes too, you see. As you see, and that's the kind of offense the Lord Jesus Christ said, woe unto that person who causes that kind of an offense. If somebody becomes taken away and is put off from spiritual things, put off from our profitable things, merely because I was insisting my personal something on that person, woe unto me, says the Lord. Woe unto me. If I was insisting something the Bible teaches, and the person is offended, I leave him to the Lord. I am doing, you're doing your work. And you are not guilty in that sense. But it's merely my taste, my liking, my way of doing things. And yet I wanted to push that upon other people's throats. Then that is absolutely unchristian. And that's absolutely total immaturity and even sin against the Lord. And so, my dear friend, that's the huge distinction I wanted us to see. Because, but the passage in Matthew 18 is quite frightening. I don't know whether you don't read that with fright. Because it tells us of the danger of being an offense to others. And then it were better for us if the millstone were hung around our neck and thrown into the sea, rather than be an offense unto others. And so, my dear friends, I hope this distinction does us some help, friends. So I would really like to begin to conclude with some of these words here. I come here to the first one again, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians, so Just try to be seeing the differences. I hope you would bear with me. Sister, yes, sister. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And from verses 3 to 6. Actually, verse 3 is our emphasis, actually. But he goes on. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love and faith, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. He goes on to say that, but the point is there, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, so that even ministers of the gospel are cautioned about that. It may not be because they may be insisting upon something of their own taste. It could be how they handle problems. And so he mentions this here. This is how we behave ourselves. We handle matters in such a way as not to cause undue offense. And so it's a challenge to us. We handle all offenses only as Scripture teaches us, so that we make sure we honor the Lord. And then There's a strong command, dear friends, as I begin to close. Romans chapter 16 and verse 17. Romans chapter 16 and verse 17. And again, this shows us how serious this offense issue is. Romans chapter 16 and verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. And so you see how serious the Bible speaks about that. There will be people like those who cause these needless offenses. Once again, they will not be offenses that come as a result of obedience to the Lord, or doing the way on our way of duty, honoring the Lord, teaching His truths, and things like this, in which case, if people are offended, we only leave them in the hands of the Lord. We do not back down, we do not water down, we simply go on insisting on the same things. I remember there was a time that Dr. Matos was preaching, and I think it was one of the school of theology, rather, and he drew attention to two groups, because there had been this strong things he said concerning the contemporary worship, the kind of worship going on in the charismatic circles. You know, it's infiltrating into even Reformed churches, supposedly Reformed churches. We usually call them New Calvinists, who try to combine biblical, sound Reformed teaching with a charismatic type of worship and mentality, things like this. So we draw the difference. Anyway, so he was preaching, and he drew attention to responses that had come as a result of that particular message. And he said this. He said that in one group, there were those persons who sent emails. And those who sent emails were full of gratitude. Most of them were grateful for what they heard, because they were sharp and pointing out to the errors. They were appreciative. And then there were those that could be gathered from the blogs, people's various blogs. And then these were mostly insults. Insults to Dr. Masters. That's why I'm telling you this. In the sermon, when he was saying this, the moment he asked them what they were still insulting, he went ahead to insist upon the same thing again. It doesn't matter what happens. If it is truth that is being taught, it doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter how it goes. Friends, you know, we saw that in first. It is such a privilege to suffer just a little for the sake of Christ. It is just a privilege to bear a little of people's insults and people's dislike and people's hatred, because we represent the things that the Bible teaches. Peter says we are honored. The Lord Jesus Christ also said we are honored. Blessed art thou, he said. In fact, when he came to he proclaimed double blessed. Blessed art thou. He said that, saying the same, virtually the same thing two times in Matthew chapter 5. So, my dear friends, so the point is this: may we have pray for grace to be so resolute in the things of the Lord. Once we know the will of the Lord, dear friends, whether at the office, whether at home, wherever, may we pray for grace to stand our ground. Hopefully we will speak peacefully, we will speak with clarity, we wouldn't be shouting over people, saying anything like that. But if as a result of that, there should be some kind of a persecution, or even people say, well, if that's the case, I mean, not even coming to your church, something like this, well, we bear that sweetly. And we commit them to the Lord. We do nothing to backtrack. We do nothing to back down. We do nothing to try to soften matters for them. Because remember, truth is not ours. It is only entrusted to us to proclaim it. If it is truth, then we have no duty whatsoever to try to adjust it anyway to make it suitable or palatable to anyone. We don't have that responsibility. And so we'll be going beyond our lines to do that. However, may we be careful. And this is why, my dear friends, you know, friends, all of us here are fairly old persons here, isn't it? I would assume that most of us will have younger persons that we, at least younger persons you speak to and things like this. My dear friends, one of the things that we should fear is to seek to run anybody's life by personal opinion. Because the consequences of that life, we will share it before the Lord if it wasn't God's way. So they were my children, your children, those who look to you for counsel. Be careful. You don't open your mouth to tell them things merely out of opinion. If they are not consistent with God's mind, and they go ahead and do it, the consequences you and I will share in that. Because we gave the counsel. we can easily prove that from Scripture. My time is almost out. We gave the counsel, and we share the consequences. So the possible rule is this. If it is merely a matter of personal taste, personal liking, personal preference, personal way of doing things, do not insist upon that. Be thankful you can enjoy it. Be thankful you can be allowed your own private corner to enjoy that. Don't impose that upon anyone. Don't insist it upon anyone. That would be so unchristian. That would be a sin, says the apostle. Because I will be taking on the place of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God only is the Lord of every person's conscience. I'm sorry, I don't want to go back. Remember in those passages in 1 Corinthians 8 and 1 Corinthians 10, Apostle Paul spoke a lot about conscience. A weak brother's conscience. Your weak brother's conscience. God only is the Lord of every person's conscience. If anybody ever wants to take that to himself, he's actually taking the place of Almighty God. And that's a dangerous thing to attempt. And so, how can we make people answerable only to God? Tell them only what God has said. And even in everyday counsel. That's why the Bible covers every department of our lives. Seek the counsel from Scripture and tell people what the Bible teaches only. Then, whether they did it or not, they'll be answerable to God. But never insisting on our own opinions. Otherwise, woe unto us if that cause offense. My dear friends, I hope all the distinctions are clear somewhat. I've tried to labor the point a little. May the Lord help us all and help us to be that careful. Now,